3. Okay, and this is not going to be long. Okay, I'm going to shorten things up here just to give us something to chew on a little bit to go home. And Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. Ephesians 3 and verse 1 through to verse 8. Okay. Appreciation for the grace of God. Sometimes, you know, we use this word grace. We pray about it. We talk about it. Grace of God. Do we know what we're talking about? Do we really know what we're talking about? The grace of God. Let's read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Together, read with me. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And if we kept reading, it just keep talking about this more and more, all the way through, all the way down to verse 12 for sure. It's about the grace of God. It's really verse number 2. He says, if you ever heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. Paul was a minister of the grace of God, the amazing grace of God. Let's pray. Father, again, we pray that this few words tonight will give us a greater appreciation for your grace, your working of grace in this New Testament time. In Jesus' name, amen. The word grace, it is used 122 times in the Gospels and Acts, the word grace. It's used in the Pauline epistles 95 times, and it's used only 2 times in the book of Revelation, right at the beginning in verse 4 and at the very last chapter in verse 21. There's no grace in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is about judgment, the world getting the judgment it deserved. It deserves the judgment. The fullness of judgment is going to be poured out. There's no grace now there still is a little bit of, there still is going to be grace manifested in the tribulation. But the point is we're living right now when the wells of grace are open for us as God's people and for us as God's servant to take the message of the grace of God to others. We live in a time of the grace of God, the grace of God. Go to Romans chapter 16, we'll see in verse 20. I think it sums it up here, Romans 16, verse 20. He says in verse 20, Romans 16, verse 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Go down to verse 24. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, what he's saying, Paul's ending his long theology discourse to the Roman church that he had never been to, by the way, and he's teaching them about the grace of God. The grace of God. And he ends this. He says, Satan is going to be under your feet shortly. Isn't that something? That was 2,000 years ago. It still hasn't happened. All Paul knew is that's next on the agenda. God is going to put Satan in his place. He's not going to be able to create all this havoc and all the strife and wars and trouble and hatred and drug addiction, and all of that is originated with satanic sources. I will guarantee you, the cartels of Mexico, the cartels of Colombia, all of that is satanic. It's satanically inspired. And the only way out of that mess is Jesus Christ and the grace of God. It's the grace of God. And Satan, who's behind all of this, is going to be bruised. He shall bruise. That word bruise is actually crushed. He's going to be crushed. He's going to have a battle that he's going to be finished, basically. Finished. He'll be finished. His plan will be done. Satan will be put down. And all over the world, we see the world just, we see Satan working so hard in every corner of the globe, causing trouble, causing riots, causing revolts. Oh, there's so much unrest. And by the way, the worst is coming to Canada yet, I believe with all my heart. It's still, and Satan is behind all of that. But he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That's how we deal with all these troubles. That's how we deal with it's the grace of God. It's our time. We have available the grace of God. And then he says there again, verse 24, he wants to make it sure, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I want us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And we'll see here, I think it's, we see it summed up in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. He says in the very last verse of that chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, verse 14, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, comma, and the love of God, comma, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. I love that. That is what the grace of God contains. The love of God and the Holy Ghost, the communion with the Holy Ghost. That is the source of the grace of God. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. He teaches a lot about the grace of God in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. Accessing the grace of God. We have access to the grace of God. Romans 5 and verse 2. Okay? He says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have access into this grace. How? Through Jesus Christ. Verse 1 is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one we access this grace. Grace. It is the Lord Jesus. He is the source of grace. It is through him we have grace, the fullness of grace. He's full of grace and truth. If you were in the service this morning, I referred to those John chapter 1 verses, grace. He is the source of grace. Jesus is the source. But now it's accessing that grace. Today, with Kristen, pray for Kristen. Oh, I hope Kristen really gets it. I really hope the Lord opens her eyes and her heart. I really believe the Holy Spirit is working in her heart. I think she's going to be a new babe in Christ one day. And I don't want to push it. Okay, as happy as I'd be to see her. And I know her family. I've been working with her brother for years and her uncle. By the way, her uncle is probably going to be moved to Prince Albert. He's going to get back to move to Prince here. And Eric, he's got, that guy has over 200 verses memorized in the Bible. He can quote them just like that. So he would like to come and help us in our addiction ministries and stuff like that. So there's a good possibility there might be a few of these folks that would experience grace. Anyway, when I'm in the prayer room with somebody, I open the Bible and I take them to verses. I explain to them about their sin. That's the first thing I do, that we have it's sin is what blocks us from God's grace. And we must come to Jesus Christ. We have to access His grace in order for our sins to be forgiven. And you know, it takes a while for that to all sink in and for the Holy Spirit to teach them that. And if you get a person to try to get it before the Holy Spirit has taught them, it won't do anything. It has to be in God's time. God has got to bring that person to the new birth. Just like a baby's born. 9 months, the baby is born, and there's a gestation period. From the time the seed is sowed, there's the Holy Spirit impregnates that seed and works in that heart. And fortunately, there are many that are aborted. And I'm talking spiritual births. There's many that are stillborn. They don't make it to the full term. They reject. Satan comes, takes the seed out of their heart. Satan comes and robs it. Or Satan is usually behind it. When he sees somebody that is showing interest towards spiritual things, he is there. And he makes sure to hinder that, the grace of God. So I explain to them. But what I'm trying to do with a new person that doesn't know Christ is to get them to access the grace of God, the wells of salvation. It's the grace of God available to us in this dispensation. There's never been a dispensation like this one for the grace of God to be available and manifested like the time that we live right now. And it's as rich and as ready and available as any time in the history of the world. We have it right now, the grace of God. But do you really appreciate the grace of God? Verse 15, chapter 5 and verse 15. Romans 5 and verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Rich verse. He's saying the source of the gift of grace is Jesus Christ. And of course, there's many verses we could go to. The gift of grace, the gift of grace, the gift. It's a grace gift. Grace means we don't deserve it. Grace means that we're getting something we don't deserve at all. God intervened in our life. God showed us a gift for our to meet the needs of our problem, the gift of grace. It's amazing. Let's go to verse 17. Verse 17. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Wow, there's a very interesting, if you go through Romans chapter 5, you look for the term much more, much more, much more. Verse 9, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Verse 9 of chapter 5, it's saying that the wrath of God, that's every child. You've got to let people know that if they aren't saved, they have the wrath of God to look forward to. You've got to let them know about the wrath of God. It's a warning as well as a wooing them to Christ. There's a warning, the wrath of God. But he's saying much more. Look at verse number 10. For if when we were enemies were we reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Much more. There's a lot of much more. Verse 20, verse number 20, chapter 5 and verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'll tell you, the grace of God is powerful enough. It's available to overcome every sin problem there is on the planet. Often at the jail, a prison, somebody will say, but what about the unforgivable sin? Like the one guy told this one lady not long ago, not at the jail, but here, she said, I think I've committed the unforgivable sin. And it really bothers me that I think I've done it. I said, do you know what that is? What is it? She says, I blasphemed the Holy Spirit. She said, I was really mad one night, and God, nothing was working out for me. Nothing. Everything didn't seem like it was working, like God didn't care. And I got really mad and I swore at the Holy Spirit. I said, well, God will forgive you for that. I mean, but God will forgive you for that. What blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is this? It's when God is speaking to you and God is trying to get you to see a truth and God is revealing truth to you through the Word and through the Holy Spirit and you say, nope, no, no. That's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And that is the only sin on the planet that you cannot be forgiven for. When you say no to the Holy Spirit, when you say no to the truth of the Word of God, that is the only sin that is unforgivable, Jesus said. Okay? So this poor girl that is tormented in her mind because she swore one night and had a bad night and things were going wrong and she just got upset and frustrated and she swore at God. She felt so bad and so terrible, haunted. She was being condemned. By the way, I want to tell you something. When there's two kinds of things that happen in the heart. One is condemnation and the other is conviction. Condemnation in the heart. Condemnation is when you feel so guilty and so condemned. And condemnation does not come from the Holy Spirit. Condemnation comes from your own heart and from Satan. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. Condemnation brings you to darkness and despair and discouragement and depression. Conviction brings you and points you to the way out, Jesus Christ. There's a big difference. And there's a lot of people under condemnation, and all they need to do is turn to Jesus Christ and turn and experience His grace, and they'll find a lot of relief. And I remember my early days as a Christian, I had, there was condemnation. Condemnation would come over me, and I would just feel like I'll never measure up to being a Christian. I'll never be a good Christian. I was sure I'd lose my salvation. I had all of these tormenting things going on in my mind. And it wasn't until I got in the Word and with good teachers and teaching, and the Bible began, and I got to see the difference between condemnation and conviction. Conviction's a healthy thing. Condemnation is a horrible thing. Condemnation is darkness and depression and discouragement and despair. Conviction leads us out of that into light. Conviction points us to the answer. Conviction is a Holy Spirit thing. Condemnation is a demonic thing, and it's a satanic heart thing. Okay? Those two things. The grace of God. Satan will do anything to block us from the grace of God. He doesn't want us accessing this wells of salvation. He doesn't want us getting to the grace of God. He doesn't want us experiencing grace that is available to us. The grace of God. Verse number 20, we were at verse 21. Verse 21 of Romans 5. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. It's all in Jesus Christ. The grace of God is in Jesus Christ. And we see the John chapter 1, grace, fullness of grace. The law came, but John brought the law. John was the last Old Testament, the law and the testaments of the Old Testament, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace, okay? I want us to see here that Romans chapter 6. Now we're Romans 5. Romans 6 teaches us about sin and grace. Because there's a feeling like, wow, we got the grace of God, and the grace of God is for harlots, the grace of God is for prostitutes, the grace of God is for all of these, you know. So it really doesn't matter how I live. It really, because the grace, God's grace, that is the wrong teaching of grace, but Paul is addressing it here. Because every once in a while, there's church, you can go on to flip on to TV channels today that try to teach that. That it really, the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace and the love of God are all that matter. Grace of God, grace of God. And they don't address the sin issue. It's sin. That's what grace was for, was to deal with our sin, to give us access to God over our sin. And Romans 6 clarifies this sin issue. Sin, that's the thing that's inside all of us, this wicked poison curse that's inside called sin. Romans 6, Paul says, he asks the question, what shall we say then? 6:1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? If grace is so wonderful and grace is where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Why don't we, so we don't really have to worry about sin then. What is his next words? Verse 2. The first two words, God forbid. God forbid. No, don't sin and grace. No, 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 no. Don't get, you try to do both. I'm telling you, you're in trouble. The grace of God is given us so that we can not live in sin. We can live in victory over sin. Look at verse 2. God forbid, he says. Now, it says it a few times in this chapter, God forbid, but verse 2 here, he says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You say, but boy, my sin doesn't seem very dead. I seem to have sin in my life. Mine didn't seem to die. What he's teaching us is you can kill it. You can keep it dead. What he's saying is that you can reckon through grace, you can have victory over your sin. Your sin does not have to reign in your life anymore, because we have something greater, a bigger boss. A bigger boss. His name is Jesus. He gave us the grace of God to live in victory over our sin. And he gave us some big help to do it. A Holy Spirit living in us, a Bible to read to help and direct us. That's what it is, okay? The grace of God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. Look at verse 14, Romans 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Question mark. Look at those next two words. God forbid. No, no, no. You're getting it wrong if you're thinking that. God forbid. No, sin and salvation, sin and grace do not mix. No, no. I want us to go now to the book of Titus. The book of Titus, and we're done. Okay? Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Now, he's just talked about a whole bunch of things here in Titus. Stealing and so forth. He's talked about relationships, and he's gone through all of these different relationships. And he gets to the grace of God issue, to young Timothy, a pastor, teaching the grace of God, verse 11. Titus 2 and verse 11. And he says this, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. You see that? That's what the grace of God, it has appeared to all men. Why? To give salvation. But look at the next verse. This next verse is very important to get this grace of God teaching correct about sin. Okay? Verse number 12. The grace of God is what he's talking about here. There's a comma at the end of men there in verse 11, meaning he's still teaching the principle. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. There's no period. But the point I'm making here is that is the grace of God teaching. He teaches us to live godly. He teaches us to live in victory over sin. The grace of God teaches us the principles of separating from sin, separating from those that do sin, separating ourselves. That's what it means. We are to separate and to not isolate, but not be in fellowship with them. We get together with them to share the love of God, the grace of God, and the goodness of God. But when we see in their actions and their attitude that they aren't going to be listening to this, we let them go their way. We don't follow them. We let them go. Okay, now he says they're teaching us, that's what the grace of God, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what the grace of God teaches us. That's the sin relationship with the grace of God. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No, you got it wrong. You don't understand. And of course, the whole Romans 6 teaches how we can have victory over sin by being baptized into Christ, being with him. Then we don't have to let sin reign over. He doesn't have to be our boss anymore. That's what I'm hoping for Kristen. I'm hoping that she's going to learn soon that, Kristen, you don't have to listen to that boss, that old boss, lust, the old boss of the drug addiction. You don't have to listen to it anymore. I'm going to introduce you to somebody, and he's going to give you the power and the ability. And once you experience it, it is going to bring amazing joy into your life, the grace of God. Oh, the grace of God. Folks, we have I've just touched the surface. I've taken the ice cream off of the top of the cake. It is full, loaded, the grace of God and what it is available, that we have available right now as Christians. Do you appreciate it? Do you access it? Have you accessed it? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we might find help and mercy in the time of need. The throne of grace. You know what he wants us to do? He wants us to get more. He's got it available. He just wants us to get more. So things aren't going very good, and we're having a real struggle in our life. You know what we do? Father, I pray, please help me today. I hate this sin in my life. Lord, I don't want to be a bad testimony. I want to be strong in the Lord. And Lord, would you give me grace today? Grace to live for today for the glory of God. You know what he does? He does it. He gives it to you. You get up the next day, and boy, things, you had a bad night. There were some really temptations. And before you go to bed that night, you're thinking all kinds of crazy thoughts. You know what you do? Father, please, I don't want to think these crazy thoughts in my head. I pray, please take them away. Lord, I want to think about things that are godly. And he'll say, memorize the scripture. And we'll think, memorize that scripture that they're doing at the church. the little voice will speak inside and he'll tell you, that's the way to deal with wrong thinking. It's a scripture, 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 scripture. It's memorizing the Word of God. Grace. Let us come boldly out to the throne of grace. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be shy. He wants us to just come and get more. It's available for us. I remember myself when I started going to the Bible college. I'd resigned my job as a pilot, and I'd spent a lot of money learning how to fly. I went and got bank loans, and I'd paid all the bank loans off, but I had spent a lot learning how to fly airplanes. And I had my first job, and things were going good. After the airplane crash, I got flying again, and the company was growing, and we were getting bigger planes and all of that. And then God was working in my heart about going to Bible college. And finally, I went to my boss and said, I'm resigning and going to Bible school, and I started going to the little Bible college. And now when I got to that Bible college, boy, there was a lot of things in there I wasn't expecting. Like, they weren't perfect, these people, you know? I was kind of older, and all of these Bible college kids were quite a bit younger and very immature. I was a guy that was out, I was a captain on a big airplane. I was a supervisor for a construction operation in the Arctic. So I was in that sort of realm, and all of a sudden I'm circled around with all these kids that are the most immature, and I was shocked, to be honest with you. And there was girlfriend, boyfriend conflicts, the boys and the girl, all this nonsense, and I thought, oh my goodness, what have I got myself into here? And I remember one morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, I got up, I was really having a rough go. And I went into this little room in the church. I walked over there in the early morning, and I got on my knees, and I said, God, you're gonna have to help me. I don't know if I can make this. Please help me. I don't know if I can do it. Lord, I wanna go back flying. I really do. Because the boss said when I left, he says, you can come back anytime and you'll have a job anytime. Don't think those words did not ring in my ears a lot. Once in a while, he would take the Learjet and he would fly over the college at low level, a Learjet. I mean, and I love flying the Learjet. But once in a while, he would just torment me like the devil, right over top of the school. And of course, they'd all know. Everybody in the school knew what was going on. And I'd think, But I remember that morning, 5 o'clock, it was a rough day, and I got on my knees, and all I can tell you is I felt something just come into my soul, a flood in my soul, and I got up out of there, and I was on my way. It was okay. You know what I found that morning in that room when it was a real struggle? The grace of God. That's what it is. The grace of God. The grace of God. Now we are to do that for others. You know that you and I can help others with that grace of God? You and me, as Christians, we are the way to get the grace of God from here to there. Kristen needs the grace of God, and we can access grace to help her get into the family of grace and to access grace. That's how churches grow. That's how revivals come. It's grace. In the book of Acts, they were flooded with the grace of God. And in revivals, they're flooded with the grace of God. And we need a flood of the grace of God today. Let's learn how to access and appreciate the grace that's available to us. Let's pray. Father, thank